Welcome to show number 14 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. What is up, my people? Hopefully you're all having a very wonderful day and everything is going perfectly for you and rosy, just like Wall Street and the financial markets have been the last few days. I swear I have woken up early each morning and made sure I've tuned into some financial news shows and the such and surfed the websites, and it's been fascinating. And although it's not always very good news to read, it is a very unique time in the history of this country, and it actually spurred the topic for today's show. In a little bit, we're going to be talking about distressed assets and toxic assets. I've been hearing a lot about that in terms of Wall Street and the United States economic situation. Well, you know, I decided to compare that to football a little bit, and we'll get to that in a little bit. We're also going to have an extensive, I wouldn't call it a prospect segment, but we're going to talk a lot about baseball prospects kind of going into the winter and going into next season. We'll, you know, as the major leagues are winding down into the playoffs and the World Series and the such, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the minor leagues and what you can do to prepare yourself for the next season, so maybe you can capitalize on some young prospects over the winter. But first thing is first, let's pop this off with a little bit of news. And I don't know if I have a whole bunch for you today. First of all, just a product announcement. Leaf Certified Materials Football should be out by the time you listen to this podcast. And it's always a decent prospect, not a prospect, it's a decent box for the money. You know, it has about 10 packs per box. So you get 5 cards per pack, and it's looking in the, you know, $75 to $80 range for the box, especially early on. So you're looking, you know, if you're at a card store, $8 to $10 a pack, probably minimum for something like that. But, you know, a box is not always a bad break from this. There's often some very cool patch cards and some helmet cards and all kinds of different things kind of come out of this. And I would call it a mid-range product. You know, it's less than $100, you know, $20 or $30 less than $100. And it all depends on the rookies. And if you have been keeping your eye on the NFL, there's been quite a few rookies and things are changing in the NFL. And that kind of brings us to our next news segment. This might affect some of your fantasy teams as well. So I'm sure you've heard this news if you keep your eye to the grindstone of the NFL. But Trent Green has been replaced, has actually replaced Mark Bolger as the quarterback in St. Louis. And that's interesting because, you know, it seems to me that Trent Green was replaced by another guy way back when named Kurt Warner. So it's all come full circle for Trent, and he's now back starting for St. Louis, and not like it really matter because I think they're 0-3 and their defense doesn't look very good. Actually, nothing looks great on that team. So I wouldn't go out and buy up a bunch of Trent Green cards or look to sell them on eBay. I don't think they'll do a whole lot unless he pulls a Kurt Warner. Another QB battle that is heated up a little bit might have flown under the radar unless you're a fan of this team, but Brady Quinn is actually looking like he may get the start or get the job in Cleveland sooner rather than later. I actually read on, I think, the Bengals site, because the Bengals play the Browns this week, and the Browns coach, Romeo Crennel, actually said that he's giving thought to putting Brady in sooner rather than later. And it kind of depends on how Derek Anderson performs, but it wouldn't surprise me if Anderson has a rough first half or a rough game against the Bengals. You probably see him definitely out of there because the Bengals are 0-3 and it's a team the Browns probably should beat. Maybe, maybe not, but we'll see on Sunday. But that's something that you want to keep an eye on, especially if you have some Brady Quinn cards or especially if you were planning on buying some, something you want to keep an eye on. And another injury of note was Willie Parker went down, I think, with a sprained ankle or something. I could be wrong there, but it does open the door for their backup running back, Rashad Mendenhall, I do believe is his name. And he's a rookie, and you'll obviously find his cards in not only Leaf Certified, but every product practically that has come out this year. So you want to keep an eye on him. And I'm sure his prices have already surged a little bit because the Steelers are such a big team. And there's a lot of fans that are either waiting to cash in on that, on Mendenhall playing well, or they're just looking to collect his cards because they think they might have the next back there. So we'll see what happens there. But after this very short break, we're going to compare distressed and toxic assets in the NFL, some cards you may have, and some a collection that you may have of some of these players that at one time were looking like the housing market, like their cards would never go down, like they were looking like a sure Hall of Famer, a sure just greatest player in the whole world. But all of a sudden, things have declined, things have changed, times have changed, circumstances have changed the way you think of these players, and they have now practically become unsellable, especially for a profit or over and above what you paid for them in the past. And we'll talk about that and maybe some hot prospects and some hot, assets that maybe you can be looking to pick up or looking to sell if you happen to have their cards already. And that is all coming up after this. I'm not gonna write you a love song, 'cause you asked for it, 'cause you need one. You see, I'm not gonna write you a love song, 'cause you tell me it's make or break in this. If you're on your way, I'm not gonna write you to stay. If all you have is leaving, I'm gonna need a better reason to write you a love song today. Today. And we are back, and like I said, I've been waking up early every morning, kind of get on East Coast time a little bit, to wake up and follow some of this Wall Street news that has been coming out. All these large banks, practically every large bank in this country is, can't loan money and can't get money loaned to them. And there's all kinds of interesting things going on. If you read the Wall Street Journal or watch some of these MSNBC or some kind of business channel, you'll be fascinated. I certainly have been, and it's something that I will continue to follow. But I was watching it today, it made me want to parallel it to the show a little bit and maybe parallel to sports, because I think sports cards, we talk about it a lot on the show, but it's an investment. And what you're really investing in is mainly the player. You're mainly investing in the player that you buy the card of, but you're also investing in the team that the player plays for, and you're also investing in the league that the team and the player plays in. So, if you're buying basketball cards compared to football cards, compared to baseball, compared to hockey and other sports, it all depends on the popularity of the team, the popularity of the sport within given countries and things like that. And so it has a lot to do with, assets and things that are going on Wall Street, because there's a lot of buying and selling constantly for either large gains or small gains or no gains at all. And the same thing happens every day in sports cards. And so since I'm a fan of the both, I'm going to compare and contrast some things today. Obviously, if you follow the Wall Street news, basically what's going on from, a podcaster's point of view, which, I would encourage you to go get a better point of view. But basically from what I've been reading is, let's just break it down to maybe your own personal situation. Say you've bought a house for $300,000 and you had a $50,000 down payment. So basically you've borrowed $250,000 from a bank. And let's just say it was a local bank, maybe a local credit union, that is really centralized either in your area or in your state. Well, that local credit union is not going to keep that negative $250,000 on their books for long. Almost immediately that $250,000 is often shipped off and, shifted to a bigger bank. And these kind of things all are done with varying degrees of interest and varying degrees of risk. And part of the biggest reasons why this country has done this and why these banks have done this is to reduce risk and to reduce the likelihood of something bad happening to all banks. But what we found out is there's been some very distressed times in the home market. Home values have been going down. People have been earning less money. And there's been a lot of loans that have been made on cards, or excuse me, homes that shouldn't have been made. And now I'm going to compare that a little bit to sports. You have some assets in sports, either some top draft picks or some famous players in college, or maybe before they made the pros. Their cards were often highly collected, often thought of being great players, and maybe their cards never going down and only going up. And, you know, those kind of things happen all the time. And there becomes a point when that card, when you've paid a certain price for it over a period of time, there becomes a point if the fallout and the drop of that player's cards drops too much, it becomes very difficult to sell because, one, you're going to be losing a tremendous amount of money. It almost becomes not worth it to sell that card because, say, you paid 50 to 100 for it and you can only sell it for 10 to 30, that'd be maybe a tough sell for you because you'd much rather hold on to it. Now, I'm going to maybe list some players, and I hope they're not your favorite, and I hope they're, you know, it doesn't discourage you from buying them. Oftentimes, the best things on Wall Street and in cards are the players that are at the rock bottom, because how are they going to go down much more? I mean, if you spend $5 to $10 on the card, yeah, maybe it'll go down to $2 to $3, but that's not that much money. So it's sometimes a decent buy. And so I'm going to name off some players. One that comes to mind almost immediately that happened just a couple weeks ago, Vince Young. Vince Young cards have always been collected very much since 2006. He was the Rookie of the Year. He's not always put up the best numbers on the field, but the Titans have always, the Tennessee Titans. I get them mixed up sometimes with the Texans, but they have won, and Vince has always been the catalyst, usually to them winning games. And he went to a big college, and he played in some huge college football games, some of the best of all time, especially against USC. So he had a lot of hype and pub behind him when he came out. So his cards were huge, and his cards have always sold, especially autographed rookies, have always sold in the hundreds, and sometimes maybe higher than that. But now Vince is on the verge of, it seems like, being out of football, or at least out of a job. And it's very quick. Obviously, he was the starter at the beginning of the year, and, you know, nothing was made too much of him over the offseason. But now his card prices have plummeted because people are just trying to sell for whatever price they can get before it really bottoms out to the bottom. And who knows where it be, because no one knows what's going on with Vince. Who knows if he's healthy? Who knows if he's healthy mentally? And it's a very interesting thing. And Vince Young cards are very distressed right now. And I would consider his cards, especially his high-end stuff, especially if you bought it as a single card, a very distressed and toxic asset that would be difficult to move considering your investment and the prices in the past. Tough card to sell. Another player that comes to mind, same draft class, Matt Leinart. Not that his cards have really bottomed out. Actually, they're probably selling for about the same as they were because he really hasn't gotten his fair shot in Arizona. And who knows if he will. We'll see about Matt Leinart. But again, it's very tough if you bought cards of Matt Leinart in early 2006 and maybe even late 2006, early 2007. It'd be tough to sell for a profit or even a break even on him. So, I don't know if I would classify him as a, 100% distressed or toxic asset, but it's one that you want to keep an eye on. And if you do have some cards of him, I wouldn't consider moving him until something else happens. Either he gets traded or he gets another shot, because Kurt Warner often gets hurt, and the Arizona Cardinals don't always have the best line in terms of protecting their quarterback, so he may get a shot. Check out Brady Quinn. Check out all these other quarterbacks that are getting a shot. You know, he's one Tom Brady knee injury away from getting in the game. Another interesting, distressed and toxic asset in terms of a football player, and this is one last year that reminds me a little bit of Vince Young, but definitely not, and Michael Vick. And this could maybe be the absolute definition of a toxic asset. Now, we've probably seen the absolute bottom for Michael Vick cards, because considering it's like a year away and everybody's practically forgotten about Michael Vick. And that's not really true, but in a football sense, from a day-to-day football sense, Michael Vick is an afterthought. Nobody even thinks about him. However, he will get out of prison at some point, and, you know, we can have a whole show on whether or not he's been punished, more severely for a crime that, you know, may or may not be more severe than, you know, other crimes that are taking place by NFL players that only get a few games and no days in jail. All those things are, from your own perspective and for another time and place. And I don't really feel like getting into it on the show, but I will say that what he did was not a good thing. And I do feel bad for the animals that he hurt. And animals are a part of this country. And whether or not we think of them on the same lines as humans, they have a right to be here, and they don't deserve to be treated poorly. And I think Michael Vick has probably learned his lesson. Oh my goodness. But we've definitely seen the bottom of Michael Vick's cards. You definitely can get on eBay and find some extremely good deals on some cards that sold for huge prices. My only experience with Michael Vick cards, I've had a few, some of his ETOPS cards. I know his 2001 ETOPS cards, I had quite a few of those and made quite a bit of money on those. Another card I got, actually an interesting story, kind of get slightly off topic here, but I had, this was way back in 2001 or 2002, I got a redemption card of somebody, I don't remember who it was, and I kind of regret that because he actually had an interesting story. He was kind of a, I remember him being kind of a highly publicized running back for the Minnesota Vikings. This was back in 2001. And he was a decent player, but something happened. I don't know if he got suspended or something with drugs or something happened, and it would have been a really horrible redemption card to get redeemed. Well, I got a redemption card of him, and I sent it in. Well, I never got anything back, but eventually I got a letter from Leaf, and they said, you know, we don't have the card, but here's a – they sent me quite a large list of things to choose from, and it was either two autograph cards, and they had a huge list of players, and a lot of them were actually pretty good, or a box of cards, and on the list was 2001 Leaf Rookies and Stars Football. So I was like, send me a box of that. You know, it had a lot of cool autograph rookies, and at the time it was actually a pretty good product. I think it was like a $70 or $80 product. So I thought, yeah, that's cool. So I got that in the mail, and I popped it, and I popped the Michael Vick autograph rookie out of there, which I think was numbered. It was not numbered, but it was stated to be less than 400 copies. I think maybe 325 to be exact. So it's a very high value card. I think at the peak it was selling in the $300 to $500 range. I remember selling it, I think at a buy it now on eBay about 2 years ago, maybe for probably 225 or something like that, maybe less than that. I don't remember, but it was a decent sum of money for a card that I basically stumbled upon. So now that card, I don't know, I could do an eBay search, but I'm lazy. That card definitely is probably sub $50, and it might be less than that. So it's definitely show you the bottom has dropped out of Michael Vick. In terms of his future, now I can't really say a whole bunch about Matt Leinart or Vince Young because there's a lot of uncertainties there, especially with Vince Young. But with Michael Vick, the one thing I do know, as long as nothing really crazy happens, and I don't expect that to happen, but Michael Vick will get out of jail one day. So, you know, and he will probably more than likely try to make an attempt back at football. So the summer Michael Vick tries to come back, or the summer Michael Vick got signed with a team, I can almost guarantee you 100%, and take it for what it's worth, you're listening to a free podcast from someone that may or may not be very reliable, but I can almost guarantee you 100%, if you've bought Michael Vick cards within the last, you know, 2 to 6 months, and maybe even going forward, maybe 2 or 3 months to the end of the football season, I can almost guarantee you that if he attempts a comeback, even if he doesn't get signed by anybody, if there's just the rumor it coming back, I guarantee you, you'll be able to sell the cards at least at a break even and probably a little bit more. Now, if he gets signed with a team, I can almost guarantee those cards going up at least a decent sum of money, not double, probably not double, but probably at least a 20 or 30% jump if he gets signed by a team. And if all things look good and there's a lot of hype about Michael Vick either coming back as a, it doesn't really matter, even as a special team player, I doubt he'll come back as a quarterback. He'll be more of a slash NFL, you know, running back kind of receiver kind of player. And as we saw last week, another curious side note, Ronnie Brown freaking blew it up out of like the direct snap. Every time he took a direct snap, he either ran or threw for a touchdown. So shows you in the NFL, if you get creative with your play calling, some crazy things can happen. Some, you know, some team might line up, some defense probably line up, and they're like, what's going on? Ronnie Brown's in the backfield. Chad Pennington, who can't even run, you know, 50 yards, is lining up at wide receiver. to me, that would throw me off too. So the Dolphins did it three times or maybe even four times to the Patriots last week. Very interesting. If you didn't see the highlights, I encourage you to try to find those somewhere. It was crazy. Ronnie Brown, straight win off. Other distressed athletes, or actually, that's actually a good moniker. Distressed athletes, you know, distressed assets. The other two that I can think of, and these are kind of oldies but goodies, Sean Alexander. At one point, not even a couple years ago, this guy was probably one of the top, if not the top, fantasy player drafted. So he was one of the top players in the NFL, definitely one of the top running backs, and I think he broke records not too long ago. Now you can't sell his stuff for anything compared to when he was in Super Bowl 40 against the Steelers. Another one that comes to mind, Dante Culpepper. I think he recently retired. His stuff was huge. I think the year Peyton Manning broke the single season touchdown record, Dante Culpepper was right there. And if Manning got hurt or didn't have as good a season, Dante Culpepper would have been the MVP of this league. So just goes to show you, turnover in the NFL goes very quickly. At the same time, Dante Culpepper came from the same draft as Ricky Williams, and he would have been on this distressed athletes list along with these players maybe a year or two ago. And now Ricky Williams is actually pretty good. It looks like he's maybe gotten his life together. Whether or not he smokes weed, I wouldn't doubt it, but at least he's gotten his life together, and it looks like he's at least playing football now. And you know, that's more than Dante Culpepper and Akili Smith can say from that draft, among others. Cade McNown, that draft, man, I was collecting cards huge in 1999, and that draft was absolutely loaded. Donovan McNabb, you know, who was the first pick? Tim Crouch or whatever his name was. He was the first pick. Akili Smith was up there. Ricky Williams, Edrin James, Torrey Holt. I mean, that's a laundry list of players that were hot at one time. Javon Curse. That just goes to show you. There was actually a lot of very innovative cards at that time. But, you know, not to get too off topic, but, you know, not to depress you too much. You know, I've been depressed reading all this Wall Street Journal. I've just maybe depressed you a little bit by all this distressed athlete news. Let me give you a little bit of positive news and maybe some athletes that I think are on the upside. We talked about him earlier, Brady Quinn, although his cards have never been at that distressed level. His cards have probably seen a slight boost in the last couple of days, especially because Derek Anderson isn't playing well, and especially because the head coach said he might get in the game sooner rather than later. So you want to keep an eye on Brady Quinn cards, especially if you have them and you're thinking about selling them. I would strongly consider selling them early. That's just my own opinion, but I'm always down to sell cards early. Matt Castle is another example. We talked about him extensively on the last show. His cards have, you know, after getting bruised up by Miami, and we'll see what happens to the Patriots in, you know, the coming weeks. You know, Matt Castle cards hit a huge high probably a week or two ago, and we'll see what happens as they go forward. It's going to take him playing well and New England winning for them to continue to trade at those prices. JT O'Sullivan is another one out here on the West Coast. This is all I hear about on the KNBR 680. When they're talking about the Niners, it's all about JTO. They have songs for him. It's unbelievable. They love this guy. In the games I've seen of him, he actually looks very confident, and he has the look of a starting quarterback, and I can't tell you how interesting that is. If you watch enough football, I saw the same thing in Tony Romo. When Tony Romo got in, I was like, dude, I don't really like the Cowboys, and I don't particularly maybe even like Tony Romo, but this guy looked like a player, man. He came in the game, he was throwing around, he didn't care if he threw a pick. He came out the next play or whatever and you know, keeps going. And that's, you know, that can kind of sum up Tony Romo. He's had some rough games and some playoff games, but he comes back every year and he performs. So we'll see. The pressure gets greater and greater for someone like Tony. And I'm not saying JT O'Sullivan will get to that height. I don't know if the Niners will, but they are currently tied for first place. So JTO, decent pickup, I would say. His cards have definitely gone up. But the upside on the Niners, they have an extremely tough schedule. They play some very good teams, but you never know. They do play a lot of bad teams. I know they play several teams twice. that are on the borderline of decent. So you want to check him out. Other guys that are on my radar, Jay Cutler and Reggie Bush, both from the 2006 draft class, not compared to Vince Young and Matt Leinart. We've seen their prices definitely jump. We've never seen the distress levels on either of them, although Reggie Bush cards have definitely dropped since their peak in 2006 and 2007. But they're definitely getting back up a little bit. There's definitely a little bit more interest in Reggie Bush, although he does have a lot of cards and he has a lot of stuff out there. And there's a lot of people that are willing to sell cards of his because they do go for decent prices. So people are willing to sell when they go up a little bit or when they sell at consistent levels. So you won't see huge jumps in his cards only because the supply is there and the demand is still not explosive on him. Although you want to keep an eye on him. He's putting up some big all-around numbers. And as long as he stays healthy, I do like his cards. Although I wouldn't put a huge investment in him because his cards have already, they're already at a high point, and him and Jay Cutler are kind of in the same position. So you want to be careful when you're buying cards of them. And I would maybe only do it if you're a big time collector and you have some big money to spend, because I would say the high end stuff of them does have a chance to go up to where you'd make a significant amount of money. Their lower end stuff will go up, but unless you're going to buy it in quantity, I don't think it's a that great of investment. But you never know. If they end up deep in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl or something like that, which could happen because the Broncos are looking really good, you never know. His cards will go up quite a bit. That's Jay Cutler for you. Other just random players, we'll kind of run through these quick because you'll probably know them already. Michael Turner has had some really good weeks, and his cards obviously have gone up already. That goes for everybody we're going to talk about here. Marion Barber, I love this guy. As long as he can stay healthy, I love the way this guy runs. I have him on my fantasy team, and so I watch a lot of Cowboy games, and I saw a lot of Cowboy games last year when he was kind of split in time, and then he saw a lot of more of the action. I mean, it was obvious. This guy just runs so hard, and he plays. He just hits a hole, and this guy really produces week after week, and I really like Marion Barber, like the way he plays football, and I think if he can stay healthy, he's going to put up some huge numbers this year, and he's going to be one of the top backs in the NFL, for sure, if he can stay healthy. On the same team, Tony Romo, love this guy. I love this guy the more, you know, I don't know about dating Jessica Simpson. You know, I find her attractive, but, you know, I don't know. Tony can date whoever he wants, and, you know, he's had better luck at that than I have, that's for sure. He has quite a track record of beauties on his list in his short time in the limelight. But I like Tony Romo. I like his game. I like the Cowboys. And his cards go up and down consistently. So you want to keep an eye on Tony. If you have some of his cards, might not be a bad time to sell because the Cowboys choke in the playoffs. Sorry, Cowboy fans, but I had to say it. Another one, Aaron Rodgers. This is obvious. Aaron Rodgers has been beaten to death, but he has been playing well. And I do like the way he, kind of like JT O'Sullivan, kind of like Tony Romo, has that look of a starter this year and has been playing very well. And I like his game. Well, that about wraps it up for this segment about distressed athletes. And sorry about the, you know, the economic news in the beginning and kind of me going off. But again, I've been staying up all day and all night reading about that stuff, finding out as much information I can. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what Congress and the Senate does about this quote-unquote $700 billion bailout that President Bush and others are looking for. Personally, I think it's needed. I don't think it needs to be $700 billion, but I think if done correctly and done right, I definitely think it will work. And I definitely think they're on the right track here. But going through Congress and going through Senate, the things I saw on today on TV, I know most of you may or may not have followed it, but from a layman's perspective and from someone who has an extremely critical view on Washington, and I hate how this country is run in general, not from a Republican or a Democrat point of view, I hate how it is run to the core. I think this country has some huge errors and some huge corrections that hopefully will be addressed very shortly. But if not, I saw today all the congressional meetings with these Treasury and, you know, Federal Reserve Department kind of guys. And I actually was kind of encouraged. I liked some of the questions they were asking. And things at least gave me a positive perspective on taxpayers selling out $700 billion. So we'll see how it goes. And I will keep you abreast on this show, whether you like it or not. But after this short break, we will be coming back with some prospect news. This is going to be a big segment, maybe not as big as this one. This has run huge long, but I'm going to talk a little bit about some prospects and some things going into the winter that you'll want to think of baseball-wise. And that will be after this. Baseball tonight, and hopefully that gets you in the mood for a little bit of baseball talk. And for me, being a Giants fan, I say the season is kind of wound down only because my team's not going to be in the playoffs and they're not going to be playing baseball anymore. However, and it also is wound down for prospects as well, although there will be quite a few players that will make noise in the playoffs, some players flying on the radar, some younger players, even some veteran players that will make some noise in the playoffs. So you want to keep a keen eye on that, especially if you're a fan on the team and you're going to be watching the games. Keep an eye on the value. And the one thing I always stress on this show is sell your cards. And it's always a good time to sell during the playoffs because that is when sometimes cards are at their height. And I tell this a lot to a lot of collectors, and maybe I've said it on the show, maybe I haven't, but you can almost always buy a card for the price that you sold it for sometime during in the future. So you could sell a card for $250 and maybe it will go up to $300. Maybe it goes up to $400, but almost all the time you can go back again at some point and buy that card again for $250 or maybe even less. And we just spent 20 to 30 minutes talking about that exact same subject. So it happens all the time in sports, and it's something that you want to keep an eye on. And I encourage you to sell your cards of baseball players that really do well in the playoffs, guys that go to the World Series or guys that have a terrific October. You want to move their cards because it is a really good time to sell. But at the same time, it is actually a very good time to buy baseball prospects because a lot of people are kind of focused on the playoffs and focused on the players that are doing well. And minor leagues is not necessarily really going on too much, although we'll talk about that in a little bit. So it actually is a decent time to buy because guys get forgotten about a little bit. Maybe they fly under the radar for a little bit until maybe spring training rolls around. First team we'll talk about, and I know this is a biased show and we're on the West Coast, but this is all I hear about. I listen to, you know, talk radio a lot and they focus a lot on the Giants. But the Giants really are loaded with some decent talent. And we'll talk about a few of those today. I could really have a whole show, and I actually recorded one with my brother. He actually got on the mic and we did a show together, but that all got wiped out with the Dell a week ago. So hopefully when my brother visits, we'll do that again. But one prospect, and maybe we've shouted him out on the show, I know some emailers are aware of this young man, and that is Madison Bumgarner of the Giants. He's a left-handed pitcher. His key card really is the 07 Bowman Chrome. And I'm going to get these prices from the Pit. We've talked about them on the last show, and it's a total free plug. I actually encourage you to sign up at the site. And I'm actually encourage you to make this company money, but so hopefully they will send something my way. As we know, they know who to make the check out to. But I'm going to steal some of their information off their site, which I don't think they'll have a problem with. But their 07 Bowman Chrome, the thing that blew me away, you don't often see this on the Pit. Someone's willing to buy 1 to 367 of them for $2.80. Now, if somebody really had 367 of them, which I doubt, but maybe, that would be $1,000+ someone's willing to plop down into that kid. And that's something you rarely see on the Pit. You don't often see huge numbers of buy, bids for like 300 plus cards. That's crazy because someone may execute that order. So someone really is willing to spend $1,000 on this guy. So that's a very telling telling sign to me that people really think this guy has a strong upside. Now you can straight up buy these cards. Someone's willing to sell 1 to 19 of them for $3.25, which is actually not too bad of a price. Again, this is his 07 Bowman Chrome rookie, just his base rookie. There's tons of them out there. And doing a quick search on eBay, it's about similar prices. You might pay a little bit more if you're just buying one card, because people do charge like $3 for one card to ship out, which is ridiculous. For the record, I charge never more than $2. Usually I'm in the $1.80 range. And for the record, it's about $1.73, $1.75, something like that, to most places. But so I really don't think it should be more than $2. That's just my opinion. Other cards of Madison Bumgarner, it looks like he has a Donruss Elite Auto, which sells fairly well, and a Bowman Sterling Auto, which all can be had for less than probably about $30, $35, and maybe even less than that if you buy it correctly. That's a decent price for a card. You know, you can look at David Price autos or things like that and kind of compare them to those cards, because if he comes out and pitches as well as those guys, because he really did tear up the minor leagues. He was the minor league pitcher of the year, I believe. His stats are unbelievable. You wouldn't even be able to do them on a video game. That's how good those things are. Another prospect I want to talk about from the Giants. This is may or may not be considered a prospect. I'm going to talk about his 2002 Bowman Chrome rookie. But keep in mind, this guy hasn't even turned 24 years old yet. And this is Matt Cain. So he's had cards since 2002. And I've followed these cards very closely on the pit and on eBay and things like that. I've actually never bought them because I've always thought them to be maybe slightly overpriced. Well, now I'm really considering buying these cards. And as a side note on the show, everything that I give you, I have invested my own money in. Madison Bumgarner, I haven't actually purchased any of his cards yet because I haven't been able to get him at the right price, but I've bid on plenty of them. Trust me, I've bid on tons of his cards, and I'm just trying to get at that right price because I know I can get it at that price if I just keep bidding carefully and I get the right situation. Maybe there's a lot of them on eBay or a lot of them ending at the same time, and we'll be able to get my price. So I'm just waiting on him. But Matt Cain, I've been following fairly closely, and I haven't actually purchased his card because his 02 Bowman Chromes on the pit and on eBay were usually selling in the $7 to $9 range, which I thought was fairly high for that card. Well, now I just looked today, $1.95 is the ask for it, and someone's willing to sell him for $2. So that's really incredible for a card that's just dropped the bottom out. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning Matt Cain is because I've heard, and maybe you have too, and I actually think an emailer, might have been Mike in Indiana, sent me this trade rumor that the Giants may, I've heard today a little bit of news that it was maybe straight rumor and total BS, but apparently the Milwaukee Brewers might have been considering trading Prince Fielder and another player, actually a very good player, for Matt Cain. And to me, if the Giants don't make that move, they must be drinking and smoking all kinds of stuff in San Francisco, because that would be ridiculous. Not that I really don't like Matt Cain. I think he actually gets really unlucky in games. And if you watch Giant games, he actually pitches very well. He has great stuff. He has a great arm. He's never gotten hurt, knock on wood. And he's a good kid. And he's still really young. He's 23 going on 24, so he's really young. And so teams are going to be willing to shell out some decent price for him. So, you know, that's why I'm mentioning him, because the fact that he might get traded, and maybe he will, that will probably jump his prices. And although we haven't seen it now because of these trade rumors, if it actually goes through, and when the hot stove gets going, and, you know, whenever it gets going, practically right now, but after the World Series, the hot stove gets going and all the baseball teams are looking to make moves, maybe a team like the Yankees or even a team like the Brewers or the Cubs or a big time team, the Mets, something like that, will be interested in Matt Cain, and who will get moved to a large market. That would do a tremendous amount for his cards. Not saying, you know, at least we know they can trade at the $7 to $9 level for practically 4 to 5 years. I mean, they were higher than that, and they might have been lower than that at times. But for the last year, I've been tracking them, and they've really been at that $7 to $8 range. And I haven't bought any because I knew that was too high, and I knew the Giants would be weak and even Tim Lincecum cards can be found at a value. So I knew Kane's cards would drop, and I really think they've probably hit bottom. $1.95 to $2 for a 2002 Bowman Chrome. Those cards are, you know, drying up, you know, because collectors hold on to them. People are less inclined to sell them. They're kind of at the back of most people's collection. So there might not be quite as many sellers, and the demand could be as equal or greater to back when the guy was in his prime, especially if he gets traded. So that's why I'm mentioning Matt Cain. Another prospect, this comes from Mike in Indiana, who is one of our most loyal listeners. And I'll shout you guys out at the end, but I want to thank you guys again, and I'll get into that as we bump you guys out at the end. But you guys know what I'm going to thank you for, but in advance, I want to thank you for that. Mike in Indiana especially sends me lots of emails, and I love hearing from him. Got a lot of good ideas and a good perspective on things. And a prospect he shouted out to me a while back, and I don't know how to say this guy's last name. I'm going to stumble over it, but it's Pedro Sirocco. I don't know how to say this guy's last name. I'll spell it for you. C-I-R-I-A-C-O. From the D-back, shortstop, second base. This guy, another source I'm going to shout out for you, MLN Fab 50. Interesting site. I'm maybe contemplating on signing up for it because it was like $12 for the whole year. And they do a rundown of double A and single A prospects that they consider are in the 18-month range from being out from the big leagues. And their past number one prospects have been BJ Upton, Felix Hernandez from Seattle, Stephen Drew, and Evan Longoria, all who have had a significant play not only on the diamond but in the hobby world. So they know their stuff. If the past 4 years they've predicted this, this is their fifth year. I'm actually thinking about going and signing up for it. And I wouldn't go sign up for it unless you have $12 to blow. Maybe do it and maybe let me know, because I'm strongly considering it. I'll maybe sell a couple cards on eBay and just do the direct PayPal over to them, because it's kind of an interesting thing. And if I check out the site, I will definitely let you guys know. But back to Pedro, he was actually, I read on another site, he was in the top 25 of this list. So that's pretty decent for a D-back, shortstop, second base. Who knows if he'll get called up. I read some other rumors on him. He has explosive talent. He has very good talent all around. It's just whether or not he applies that to the field. And we'll see about him. That'll probably be his defining factor when he gets his shot, because he more than likely will. But again, this was a top 25 list or a top 50 list of people that are 18 months or more away from being in the bigs, in their opinion. So it's a good long-term investment, and his card prices are somewhat low if you can find them. So it's something you want to keep an eye on if you're on the tight budget, which this country sure is on. But the number one, I will report to you, the number one, they did report their number one prospect was Matt Gamel. So this guy's among the likes of BJ Upton and Felix Hernandez and Evan Longoria of the likes. So this guy's in double A Brewers. And he looks like his key card is the 06 Bowman Chrome. And I'll shout out the Pitts prices again. Dirt cheap. $1.45 ask and a $2.35 bid, so you can basically get on there and buy them for $2.35, and the last bid was $1.50. So extremely good for a low budget. You could pick up 10 of them for less than $15, even with the commission. So you know, it's not a bad pickup. Now you know, you may wonder about some of these prospects and whether or not they'll be playing over the winter, and some of them do. And something that is going to be starting on the 27th, I get all this information from minorleaguebaseball.com. The Hawaiian Winter League start, probably a good place to have Winter League, I guess, although I've never been to Hawaii, would love to go, but I can't imagine there being too bad of a time to ever be in Hawaii. So those start on the 27th. There's a ton of prospects playing in it. I'll keep my eye on it because the Giants' number one draft pick, Buster Posey, is going to be playing on it. Other top picks are going to be Yonder Alonso from the Reds. He was the number 7 pick. He's a first baseman. Jason Castro, sounds like an American Idol contestant, I think. He plays for the Astros, and he was the number 10 pick. He was a catcher. And Jeremy Bleach, I think, or Bleach, for the Yankees, he was the number 44 pick, and he was a left-handed pitcher. And being for the Yankees and being their number one pick, you can definitely, that'll definitely assure that those cards will be collected. So you may want to keep an eye on him. I believe his last name is spelled B-L-E-I-C-H. So you want to keep on that. They'll start the 27th. Check out minorleaguebaseball.com or some of these other sites that keep prospects stats updated. You will see some movement in cards, albeit slight, because we are dealing mostly with low budget prospects, although Buster Posey and those kind of cards, if you can find them. Honestly don't know if there's too much Buster Posey stuff out there. I believe that some of these companies do have some prospect cards, Bowman Chrome, and there was a prospect product called Razor, which had a lot of cut autographs from some of these top guys. So my voice is absolutely kicking out on me, so I'm going to wrap it up for this segment, and we're going to come back with probably absolutely nothing, but a shout out to you guys, and that will be after this. I'd rather run the other way and stay and see the smoke and who's still standing. Things up for you all today. My voice is absolutely kicking. I don't know what's going on, but it is on its last leg. So we're going to wrap things up. But first thing is first, don't forget our contest. To break it down very quickly, just send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email. That'll get you an entry automatically. Send me any ideas, a greatest find that you might have, a prospect, anything hobby related. I'll be glad to bring it to the show. And as for the links that you can go to get the big votes, 5 votes for any comment on podbean.com. And I want to thank the loyal listeners that do that. You guys know who you are. Like I said on the last show, because of that, now when you search sports podcasts, we are number 10 in most relevant sports podcasts. And it's because you guys comment and rate the show. And you guys know who you are. You guys get 5 votes each for that. And some of you get 25 carried over from last month, because I really appreciate you doing that. And it really does help listenership. The other thing you can do is vote for us at podcastalley.com. And if you can send me an email, I'll send you the direct link to our show, because it's not always easy to find. However, because, again, we have some very loyal listeners that go there, and you can vote once a month, and your vote does count, because trust me, when I signed up for the site, I went and tried to search for my podcast under sports and recreation, and I couldn't find it. They run down like a top 50 list or a top 100 list, and the first month I couldn't find my show on there. Well, all of a sudden, because of you and because of your votes, I went there today, and we were actually number 16, which is absolutely unbelievable. I want to thank you guys. The fact that we were in the top 100 to top 50 to actually in the top 25, and we're almost knocking on the door of the top 10. That is great for our show. And again, I just want to thank you guys for all of that. And that about wraps this show up. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We talked a lot about players. And again, I do believe that the players really do drive the cards. And so we'll focus a lot on not necessarily individual cards or individual sets and brands, but we will talk a lot about players and what kind of things they're doing on the field or off the field that are going to affect their values. And at the same time, in the meantime, while this thing is hot, and I'll probably, as the elections get closer, I'll bring you a little bit of that, whether you like it or not, because I'm literally addicted to that stuff like crack. Not that I know anything about that subject or anything about doing anything like that, but I feel that it's an equally strong addiction that I have. So we'll hopefully maybe mingle a little bit of that into this show, at least for the next 6 or 7 weeks until we get some new leadership or some things done. I'll keep you abreast of those things and hopefully maybe pique your interest because aside from sports cards, I think that's some pretty important stuff. But that's about it for today. Sorry to, go off on all kinds of tangents and all kinds of things, but hopefully you enjoyed the show. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good week or weekend, and I will see you all next time. Thanks again. See y'all.